9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Elon Musk will not be joining Twitter's board, but he'll still have a voice at the social media giant.
There's no way to ignore this individual. They're the largest shareholder. So even though Elon's not on the board, it's very clear that his opinion is going to count.
We'll discuss what comes next for Twitter and why your favorite vintage or craft seller on Etsy may be on strike. Plus, another quarter in the old office swear jar. Is foul language still a no-go at work? It's Monday, April 11th. I'm Janet Babin for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. President Biden is pressing India's prime minister to take a tougher stance against Russia over its invasion of Ukraine. At the start of a virtual meeting with Narendra Modi today, Biden highlighted the bond between the two nations.
The United States and India are going to continue our close consultation on how to manage the destabilizing effects of this Russian war.
So far, India has remained neutral in Russia's war against Ukraine, though at today's press conference with Biden, Prime Minister Modi did condemn the recent killings of Ukrainian civilians in Bucha. Also today, France said it's sending a police unit to investigate potential war crimes in Ukraine, the first time France has disclosed the use of military personnel in the war zone. The French government previously said it sent defensive weapons to Ukrainian forces, though it didn't say what type. Meanwhile, French President Emmanuel Macron has been speaking with Russian President Vladimir Putin in an effort to maintain an open channel between the Kremlin and the West. The economic impact of the war in Ukraine will be on investors' minds, along with the effects of the pandemic, as first quarter earnings start rolling in this week. High inflation, including rising commodity and energy costs, will also be closely watched for how they're affecting company earnings. Here's our markets reporter, Karen Langley.
So in the case of the first quarter, when the world was dealing with the surge of the Omicron variant of COVID-19 and with the conflict arising in Europe, analysts actually brought down their expectations for quarter one earnings. But they've been raising their expectations for what profits are going to look like for the rest of the year. And so I think one big question on a lot of investors' minds is whether that makes sense, whether we should be expecting, you know, even increasing earnings growth relative to what we expected a few months ago for the whole year, or if there might be too much optimism in that scenario. So I think that investors will be listening really closely for any signs company managers can give about their outlook for business in the coming months.
Investors are also focused on moves from the Federal Reserve and whether its plans to combat inflation with higher interest rates could increase companies' borrowing costs. Some sellers on Etsy are temporarily closing their shops to protest the company's decision to raise its commissions. More than 15,000 sellers have signed a petition against the rate increase, which lifts Etsy's cut on transactions from 5% to 6.5%. Etsy executives say the fee hike is critical for it to make investments in marketing and expand seller support services. But the fees are just the beginning. Our online shopping reporter, Charity Scott, says sellers are upset about changes Etsy has made to compete with online marketplaces like Amazon.
So that means millions and millions of sellers are on the platform, and it may be harder to get your questions answered or to get support from a real person if you have an issue with a difficult buyer. It means Etsy is trying to get more and more sellers to offer free shipping, which is obviously something that pretty much every big e-commerce giant is offering. Etsy is pushing sellers to respond to questions from shoppers really quickly, and making all of these kind of demands on these businesses that really kind of creates tension when you see yourself as a small business owner with a certain amount of autonomy about how you run your business.
And officials in Philadelphia say they are reinstating the city's indoor mask mandate, requiring all residents and visitors to wear masks in public spaces starting next week. Officials made the announcement as the Omicron BA2 variant has led to an increase in newly reported COVID-19 cases across the northeastern U.S. But many of the nation's school districts and cities where COVID-19 cases are rising have said they aren't considering reinstating mask mandates. Coming up, what's next for Elon Musk's on-again, off-again relationship with Twitter?
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
It has been a turbulent few days for Twitter and Elon Musk. Last week, the social media company announced that Tesla CEO and influential Twitter user Musk had been invited to join its board after it was revealed that Musk had a 9.2% stake in the company, making him its largest shareholder. But last night, after Musk spent the weekend tweeting criticism and jokes about the company, Twitter's CEO said that Musk had decided not to join the board. Then today, in an amended regulatory filing, Musk stated that he may engage with Twitter's board on business decisions and other matters. Without a board seat, Musk also is freed up to buy up even more Twitter shares and start behaving like an activist investor. Shares of Twitter ended the day up about 1.7%. So what does Musk's reversal mean for Twitter going forward? Here to talk about it is the Wall Street Journal's social media business reporter, Salvador Rodriguez. Hey, Salvador, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get started, we should note that Dow Jones, publisher of the Wall Street Journal, has a commercial agreement to supply news through Twitter. So, Salvador, obviously, there's been a lot of new information coming out about this since the news broke late last night. Can you just get us up to speed here? What do we know about the reasons why Elon Musk is no longer joining Twitter's board?
Unfortunately, we don't know too much beyond what CEO Parag Agrawal shared Sunday evening in his note to employees, and then a note that he shared to the public, where simply he mentioned that Elon came on Saturday and shared that he would not be joining the board anymore. It's unclear the order of timeline here. Parag said it happened Saturday morning, but if you look at Elon's tweets throughout the weekend, many of which he's deleted since then, he began tweeting criticisms and jokes and ideas about Twitter as early as 9:30 a.m. Eastern. So it's unclear if he decided to not join the board and then went on his Twitter bender, or if the bender came first and then perhaps he was asked to not join. But from what Parag shared and from some filings with the SEC this morning, we don't know too much other than it was Elon's decision.
About those weekend tweets, they included some provocative suggestions, as you alluded to, about how Twitter might do business. And it wasn't even clear at the time how serious he was about some of those tweets. But how does this latest news change our understanding of this?
The latest news of Elon not joining the board of Twitter, it's kind of a wild card because we have someone who is the biggest shareholder in the company, the richest person on the planet, and they are not being a passive shareholder. From what we've seen throughout the last week or two, Elon is very active. He does not mind criticizing this company that he is now a major shareholder in, and he's doing it through the company's own product. He has 81 million followers on there, so he's extremely influential. And from what I'm seeing, following Twitter employees, he's become a major distraction, which is probably why CEO Parag Agrawal ended his note by telling his employees to focus and tune out those distractions. By joining the board, the agreement was going to be that there would be a cap on how many shares of the company Elon would be allowed to own. But now that that's no longer in place, you also have to worry if perhaps Elon could try some sort of, you know, hostile maneuvers in this situation.
And that would entail buying more Twitter shares and taking over the company?
I think that's one possibility, taking control at least.
One of the reasons that we discussed for why Twitter might want to have Musk on its board is so that it could bring a prominent critic in-house. And if the hostile takeover situation doesn't happen, do we have a sense of other changes that might take place now that Musk won't be an insider?
Well, now Twitter has the biggest spotlight on itself that it has had since the company banned former President Donald Trump early in 2021. Since then, the company has really flown under the radar. It's made some public goals about what it wants its revenue to be at and what it wants its user base to be at the end of 2023. But now with Elon and this whole drama, the company is once again under the microscope. And so that just creates a lot more pressure. So we're only a few months into the tenure of Parag Agrawal as CEO, and he for sure is now facing his first major obstacle.
And either way, it seems like Musk will engage on business strategy issues as the largest shareholder of Twitter, even if he's not on the board.
That's what's been made clear, even in all the filings today and Parag's note yesterday. They have said that, you know, there's no way to ignore this individual. They're the largest shareholder. So even though Elon's not on the board, it's very clear that his opinion is going to count. I think what's a huge challenge, though, for Twitter and the employees and just anyone that pays attention is that when Elon tweets, there is no clear distinction of when he's being serious or when he's joking. I think yesterday, one of the things that he tweeted after just going wild on Saturday is he tweeted a meme where it's a photo of a lawyer and it says something along the lines of, "You have to pardon my client, he was in goblin mode." So what does that mean? I don't speak Elon Musk. I'm not sure how to translate that for you. And I think that makes it really difficult for anyone involved in the situation because you have the world's richest person and it's never clear when they're joking and when they're being serious.
Salvador, you're a social media reporter, though. Does this at all fall under the category of sort of any publicity is good publicity? Could this in any way be a positive for Twitter?
I think it certainly could have been if he had been on the board and given confidence to people that Twitter is actually something worth betting on. If you look at how they did in terms of revenue and user base in 2021, revenue is doing really, really well. They really seem on pace to reach their goal, $7.5 billion in revenue for the year of 2023. So it looks like they're going to beat that mark. But when it comes to their user growth, that is where they're lagging. And it's not clear that they're going to hit their stated goal of 315 million daily active users by the end of 2023. With Elon, obviously, you have an extremely popular person, very influential, whose followers are diehard. And if it was a more friendly situation between the board and Elon, perhaps Elon's influence could have been leveraged to give a boost to that user growth. But now that this is the case and there's so much tension between these entities, it's unclear what impact could happen. Perhaps Elon could still decide to be friendly, but it's unclear.
Salvador Rodriguez is the Wall Street Journal's social media business reporter based in San Francisco. Salvador, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Janet. Really appreciate it.
And finally, life can be pretty stressful these days, and you might feel inclined to drop an occasional F-bomb while you're at work. Well, you're not alone.
According to financial intelligence platform Sentio, expletives in quarterly earnings calls, investor conferences, and shareholder meetings rose to a five-year high in 2021. In the first 3 months of this year, the company found expletives in 50 transcripts it analyzed, up from 42 in the same period last year. But is it ever okay to use foul language at work? Here's our work and life columnist, Rachel Feinzig.
Well, I think, you know, to not derail your career, what you want to do is just be really perceptive. So look around, you know, what are your bosses and your boss's bosses doing? What kind of language do they use? You know, an expert told me you want to make sure you're not swearing that frequently. And she also recommended not coupling it with complaining. You don't want to be kind of doubly negative. And that was something I heard a lot from the people I talked to. They said, you know, they use swearing as a way to kind of emphasize the positive, like, you know, you're really f***ing killing it at work. You did a great job on that project, that sort of thing. But not to kind of fling around swear words as like a punishment towards people or a way to kind of tear others down.
And that is what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Janet Babin for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.